$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini-episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-host, Brian Higgins.
Yeah, hello.
And no Rick again this week.
That is correct.
We're kind of following up his kind of two-week busyness, but he'll be back. Don't worry. Don't miss him too much.
Well, he has to come back.
He did?
He has to.
Oh, I thought you said he asked to come back. I said, He doesn't have to ask.
He can just come.
No,
but our next review is going to be our 50th review set.
Holy shmoly.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
So we definitely need Rick for
that. Rick will be here. Oh, he will. Even if we have to record the podcast without him knowing, we'll just stand outside of his window.
There'll be a lot of being
like, peer at him.
Being like, why are there people moving outside my house?
And who knows what's in the stars that we're looking at outside as we're standing outside of Rick's bedroom window.
Speaking of stars.
Oh, go ahead. I lay it out there for you, sir.
One of the things we do on our mini episodes is connect movie stars.
Okay, yeah, well,
so our
we'll
most
jump right into
movie
that. Right.
Was Adventures in Babysitting, which
yes.
stars
Elizabeth Shue. Right, yeah. So as you said, Bri, we make a movie connection. In our previous movie we did was Blank Check.
It was, yeah.
Now, I have to admit, usually these degrees of separation, regardless of how many steps, kind of come rather quick to me.
Yep.
Sometimes they're not, I'm not cutting out as many steps as I'd like to. This one, immediately I had like a one step or a two step, and then I got super stuck. It was very hard. Other than
really?
The one I came up with, so
I lucked into one because I had just happened to watch a movie that connected two of the connected the two movies perfectly.
Okay, well let me just tell you mine. Now, like I said, I could have actually thought of somewhere like I could have done like a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to go that route. So this was the best one that I could come up with. Blank Check, the father, and that was James Rebhorn.
Yep.
Who was in the movie The Game with Sean Penn.
Correct.
Then Sean Penn was in Carlito's Way with Penelope Ann Miller, who was in this movie, Adventures of Babysitting.
There you go.
So, again, not like the main characters or actors of these movies.
No.
It was kind of roundabout because I really wanted to use like an Elizabeth Shue or even like a Vincent D'Onofrio.
Because Vincent D'Onofrio was the main character in this movie.
Well, he's obscure, but he is in a lot of movies. But
yeah, he's a good one to try to use to connect.
Well, I think another time, and probably not now, but I think another challenge for us, because two guys in each of these movies, but I think would be great to connect because they're in so many, but they're in really obscure movies. I was like, how do I connect Miguel Ferrer to Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yeah.
Like, those two guys are in so many movies, but if you try to think of like their main movies, you could think like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
I think of
what
Blank
the hell?
Check.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought of Blank Check and I was trying to think of like Traffic because there's a lot of people in Traffic, you know? And then I was trying to like on Vincent D'Onofrio's end, he is in like a lot of indie and obscure movies, but I was really wanted to maybe go with like the Magnificent Seven remake because there were so many people. You know, like a Denzel Washington, because you could go so many directions there. But anyways, so that was it. You know, it was pretty short and sweet. The best one I could come up with, because like I said, this one was a bit more difficult than usual.
Yeah, like I said, I lucked into one because I happened to watch a movie that had someone who was in Adventures in Babysitting and someone who was in Blank Check.
Oh!
And that movie is My Fellow Americans. It was James Rebhorn.
Again, James Rebhorn, right,
because
he's a character. He's in, like, every single political comedy or drama.
Yeah.
He always shows up, so that makes a lot of sense to me.
And also in that movie, Bradley Whitford.
Yes, I was thinking of, like, maybe doing a Bradley Whitford again, too. But again, when I was trying to think of Bradley Whitford, and all the Bradley Whitfords I could think of were, like, recent ones, like Get Out and stuff like that, you know?
And
so,
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, right. Or Revenge of the Nerds 2, that's
another. Not Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison.
Billy Madison, yes. Oh, yeah, Billy Madison, right. Okay, very well.
Yeah.
Good job, sir. I wonder if that's the definitive. We don't have Rick to check. Since we're on the subject of the movie that was the most recent one, Adventures in Babysitting. Brian, did you kind of have any further follow-up thoughts, you know, with a week kind of going by, contemplating about this movie?
I did still think that it was entertaining.
Yep.
But I also took the time to seek out the Disney Channel original.
I was going to ask you that.
Yes.
If you saw the remake, quote-unquote.
It's interesting.
Interesting. Okay.
It's vaguely follows the same trajectory.
Like the outline a little bit.
But there's a scene where they appear on the stage of a concert, but in this one they have to rap.
Yeah, but they have to perform instead of people all of a sudden.
But there's way too many children in it. There's more kids than I could keep track of.
Like they're babysitting a lot of kids?
Yeah,
or you're saying like the babysitters themselves
are...
There's
like two sets of babysitting going on trying to find one kid that's in the city. And they don't have like the side quest happening really. But then there's a boy that they want to find. And it's interesting. There's no Playboy in this one, obviously.
Of course.
It's the Disney Channel original movie.
Did they have like a tiger beat or something instead?
Well, instead, both girls, both babysitters are photographers. And part of the plot is they swap phones, which leads to hilarious
hijinks.
Yep. And one of them takes a photo in this pawn shop type thing where they're trying to buy scalped tickets of like the sapphire ferret or something. It was a ferret with a purple stripe.
What?
And
this is a music act?
No, there was a ferret. Like in Kindergarten Cop, you know the animal?
Dominic, you are in charge of the ferret.
Yeah, there was a ferret, and they took a picture of it, and apparently it was a stolen ferret or something, and the bad guys needed to get the camera. I was like,
If you just say,
hey, kids, look, we're criminals. We'll hurt you if you don't delete that photo. Show us that you're deleting it. Okay, you deleted it. Go about your way.
But it got uploaded to the cloud already.
It was on a camera.
Oh, okay. Kodak, you know, snapshot.
But it still had a memory card.
Okay,
like, it looked like a classic camera, and then there was a memory card.
That's interesting.
It was a Disney Channel original movie.
Yeah.
But it had kind of that backbone of adventures in babysitting, which gave it a good starting point.
Okay, yeah, because I remember when, like, I was reading an Entertainment Weekly or something, and they were like, this week, Adventures in Babysitting. Oh, no, the remake. And I was just like, I was outraged. I was like, how dare you? You know.
I'll be outraged if they remake the Disney Channel original movie, Genius.
What's that? I'm not familiar with that.
It was one, it had Charles Fleischer, the voice
Roger
of
Rabbit,
Rabbit,
yeah.
And Emmy Rossum was in it.
Really?
A young Emmy Rossum.
Okay.
And it was about this like genius kid. It was kind of absent-minded professor-ish.
Okay. They were making some flopper.
But instead of the basketball scene, it was an ice hockey scene. So
what do you mean? They had a substance that made people jump high and stuff?
I don't think it jumped. It just made them better. I don't remember it very
well. Like steroids?
But I loved it when it came out. I can't explain. It was probably mostly for Emmy Rossum.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But
Big fan.
I haven't followed most of her later career.
You haven't?
No.
You don't watch Shameless?
I don't.
One of the best shows, like, of the past few years. William H. Macy is brilliant. She's wonderful.
Nope.
Okay. Well, you should check out Shameless. On Showtime, coming back this January. I'm just going to do some more free plugs this episode. So.
Stamps.com.
There you go. So, Brian, some fun facts about Adventures in Babysitting. We did mention during the full reviews that this was Chris Columbus's directorial debut.
Indeed.
Which was quite interesting. I was not aware of that. One of the things you had actually brought up was that Bradley Whitford used his own Camaro for the movie with the license plate So Cool. So that wasn't a character trait that they bestowed upon him. It was his own car.
Do you think he got the role because he had the car?
No, like, he's a good actor.
Like he pulled up to the studio and they're just like, wait, we need that car.
Oh, no, I think he's good, so.
Well, I don't disagree that he's good, but if I'm a casting director and I'm like, we need to save money on our vehicle budget, and he rolls up, I'm going to be like, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So this is an interesting fact just about Toronto in general. Apparently, they filmed portions of this in Toronto. They always do that. You know, Toronto substitutes for Chicago, New York. And I must attest, I've been to Toronto a few times. It is a very clean city. So I am not surprised that right before shooting a scene in which the group runs through a dirty, trash-filled alley, the Toronto Sanitation Department came by and cleaned it up, so the crew had to dig through locals' dumpsters for more trash. Like, they had to put out more trash to make it look like Chicago.
Because
Toronto's a very clean city.
Exactly. They have a lot of pride.
This is interesting. Elizabeth Shue's brother, Andrew Shue, who, you know, was on Melrose Place, had a role as an extra at the frat party. He is at the bar laughing at Daryl when he's got his little popcorn glass there.
Oh, Daryl.
Oh, something we're going to get into a little bit further down in the podcast. One of the movie's producers is Deborah Hill, who had teamed up with John Carpenter to make Halloween, a horror movie about murdered babysitters. Listen carefully when Sarah and Chris watch television. The music you can hear is John Carpenter's chilling Halloween theme.
Ooh.
As an inside joke. Oh, I always love like weird casting choices, Brian. So,
oh, of course.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus auditioned for the lead role, but withdrew in favor of Jodie Foster. But Foster also withdrew, leaving Michelle Pfeiffer, Valerie Bertinelli, Elizabeth Shue, and Justine Bateman as the only choices. Bateman withdrew from the project due to creative conflicts from the producers of Family Ties. Pfeiffer left the project instead to do The Witches of Eastwick. Bertinelli lost out to Shue on the final days of auditions.
Oh. They make it sound like Julia Louis-Dreyfus was like, no, I shouldn't do it. It should be Jodie Foster instead.
Why would Jodie... I can't picture Jodie Foster. Like, she is such a serious actress.
Well, I don't have a Jodie Foster impression. I was just going to, and it turned into...
I'm Jodie Foster. Hello.
It turned into Owen Wilson.
I just feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like these actresses aren't kind of in the same age bracket.
No.
Like, I feel like Michelle Pfeiffer and Jodie Foster might be a little too... I could see Justine Bateman. She was a teenager from Family Ties around that time. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, she could have pulled it off a little bit. She was a little younger. Valerie Bertinelli, I mean, she was a teenager on the 70s on One Day at a Time. That was a little past her, too.
Yeah.
I don't know, but... As an early draft of the script, the part of Dawson, the garage owner, was going to be played by an extremely unfeminine woman, and the scene would emphasize the humor of Sarah and Brad's confusion over Dawson's gender. The part ultimately went to Vincent D'Onofrio, and the scene, it appears, plays with Sarah's fascination with the comic book hero Thor and her confusion of Dawson with her comic book hero. So they were going to have it be a very manly woman.
I'm glad they made that change.
That's strange.
Because that would have stuck out even more than the Thor's a homo portion.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, right. That would have been more cringe-worthy.
Yeah.
Oh, this is super fun. In both Avengers and Babysitting and Back to the Future 2, Elizabeth Shue faints and says the line, "I had the worst nightmare."
Oh.
Remember when she faints? And Back to the Future 2. Brian, and not one of the other things, remember you recall during the full episode we were talking about the role of the teenage runaway played by Monica Devereaux?
Yes.
Who was Chris Columbus's wife? Well, the two rival gangs on the L train challenge each other to fight when the train crosses Devereaux Street. An in-joke towards the director's wife, Monica, and father-in-law, Clark Devereaux, who both appear in the movie. I wonder who Clark Devereaux was. I don't know.
An old fuddy-duddy.
In Adventures in Babysitting and Back to the Future 2 and 3, Elizabeth Shue's characters' last names are Parker.
Oh.
It's a lot of carryover from the Back to the Future films. That's kind of funny. I did not notice this, Brian. Sarah wears a backpack with a picture of Gizmo on it. This is a reference to Gremlins, which was written by Chris Columbus.
I didn't notice
I didn't
that
see
either.
A gizmo. I mean, I didn't even see something on her backpack. The tow truck driver hits a lawn jockey after reaching his house. Knocking over lawn jockeys later became a running joke in Home Alone and Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, also directed by Chris Columbus.
That's a weird running
joke. That is a weird running joke. The movie Adventures in Babysitting was the basis for the 1989 CBS unsold pilot starring Jennifer Guthrie, Brian Austin Green, and Joey Lawrence.
Whoa.
Another thing, speaking about when we were kind of questioning the characters' ages, in the film, Elizabeth Shue is a 17-year-old high school student and 4 years younger than Dan Lynch, the guy she meets at the party, played by George Newbern, who is a 21-year-old college student. But in reality, at the time of the film's release, Elizabeth Shue was 23 years old, and she was 1 year older than George Newbern, who was only 22 years old.
Oh.
So, that, again, older characters playing kind of younger. Kathleen Turner was also the first choice for the... Kathleen Turner? Come on, what are you talking about?
Kathleen Turner.
Finally, Brian, I think a good fun fact to end on. What do you think, if you recall, we just recently watched this movie. What is the body count in this movie?
Oh, well, let's see.
Think about it. This is a trivia challenge question.
It's not a very violent
movie.
Well,
there is some violence, but it's not... harmful for the most part.
I mean, Ron Canada doesn't get back up.
You think he dies? That's the after credits as he falls off the building because he never gets back up.
None of the bad guys die. None of the children die.
Mm-hmm.
But there must be a body count if you're saying this.
Maybe.
The lover doesn't die. The wife doesn't die.
Take a stab in the dark, Brian. Who?
Take a stab in
the
dark.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
The guy that got stabbed.
Yes, you're right. The body count is one. An uncredited off-screen, the guy with the stab wound at the hospital.
I mean, in theory, there's probably like a dozen other people that died during the course of the movie at that hospital.
Yeah, probably. But
it's not a very good hospital.
None that they mentioned, though. There's a lot of people dying, and then there's characters just getting one stitch.
One
stitch. So those are the fun facts about Adventures in Babysitting.
Fun fact.
Now, Brian, one of the things I thought I'd do is I wanted to, as we usually do, we often look up some movie-related lists that have to do with the film's subject.
Yeah.
And so I was interested in looking up movies that revolved around the plot device of babysitting.
That makes sense.
Now, surprisingly enough, there were a number of good lists that I could find.
Yeah.
So I did eventually find one, but before that, kind of fed up and defeated before I ended up finding it, I started to put together my own list of movies.
Look at
so
you.
I thought it'd be fun to first go through the list that I actually found and see which one of those movies were covered in the list that I created myself. All right?
We're going to call this segment Don't Tell Mark the Babysitter Lists Are Bad.
That might have be one on my list, believe it or not. All right, so the title of this list is 10 Babysitting Movies Worth $20 and Whatever You Find in the Fridge.
I see what they did.
And this is from ScreenPicks.com. This is one of the things I want to preface. I did find a few lists, and the ones I found that were very limited, the first couple ones did not include Adventures in Babysitting, so I said, this is crap, I'm not reading this one anymore. It makes no sense if you don't have Adventures in Babysitting.
I get the feeling that a lot of them would probably be very horror-heavy.
There was one that was horror-based, right.
Or
but
else,
I want an all-encompassing horror, yeah. Comedy. So this is 10. Let's see. This is one I've heard of but haven't seen. It's called Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer from 2011. Judy ends up bound to a summer in her wild and wacky aunt, and while the parents are away, a charting system guides the gals and Judy's pals on an unforgettable adventure.
That was way too clever.
Have you heard this movie or
seen
it?
No, but there's way too much rhyme that was happening.
There's a lot of rhyme in it.
Judy Moody and the Nut Bummer Summer.
Is this based on like a Judy
Bloom charting
Bloom
system
book?
Guides the gals and Judy's pals on an unforgettable adventure.
It's true. Too much rhyme's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember when it came out, in that brief window where it was out, like if I had someone go, hey, you want to see a movie? It would be my go-to, like, oh, do you want to see Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer?
Which is like your sarcastic one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I heard of the book, and then when the movie came out, I said, well, I don't want to see this movie, but I haven't read the book.
I'll be lost.
Yeah, I'll be lost. I'll be totally lost. The next one from 2008, Role Models. Not all babysitting is on a paid basis. Sometimes it's court mandated. Have seen it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
When I looked at this, I was like, oh, yeah, that is kind of a babysitting. I didn't really think about that. They're more mentors, but
yeah, it's Big Brother.
Yeah, it's a Big Brother program.
Yeah.
But you could think of that. You could argue, technically, maybe it's like a babysitting type
of role. For my $4 an hour, I think the babysitter needs to be sitting at home and not taking them on energy drink-based adventures.
Or LARPing. Yeah. All right, 1996. First Kid, probably the most important babysitting job in the country, and the job was given to Sinbad. Now, Sinbad was a bit more of his, bodyguard, Secret Service agent, so I don't know if he was babysitting him. I don't know.
This is a... I'm going to pass.
You're questioning that one, yeah. I don't know if that just popped in my head, though, and I threw it on my list. We'll have to compare when we get to it. Okay, I would include this one from 1989, Uncle Buck.
I think that counts.
That counts. Almost everyone had that uncle, the one
the family is scared to mention his name, out of fear he'll appear. With the rhymes.
Yes.
When you need a sitter on short notice, it calls for desperate times.
In the end, John Hughes fails to disappoint.
No, that...
They start a rhyme. They had Dr. Seuss thing.
Okay.
You're gonna do it in sing-song?
No, Screen Picks. I want you to think of your grammatical form here.
Yeah.
But when
That's
you
why need, I had trouble reading it.
But when you need a sitter on a short notice, it calls for desperate times. No, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah.
So when you're it doesn't call for desperate times. And then in the end, John Hughes fails to disappoint is essentially a double negative. Was his goal
Brian
to disappoint?
Schooling the reviews.
If your goal is to disappoint, then yes, he fails to disappoint. His goal wasn't to disappoint. His goal was to create an enjoyable John Candy film, which he succeeded at.
Yes, right.
So he didn't fail.
Yeah. But I have seen this and would definitely include it.
Screen Picks, get your act together.
And you've seen it too. I know.
I love Uncle Buck.
This movie has come up twice. We used to watch this movie all the time,
I never saw this one.
Bebe's Kids from 1992. This is the second time this week that someone's brought up Bebe's Kids. Men will do anything for sexy times, even taking the world's most ghetto, back-talking gang ever known to man. That group mixed with the theme park from hell, Fun World. This was like
animated... That's not a complete sentence.
It was an animated movie based upon the stand-up set of the... Now, this is awful. I can't remember the comic's name that was in Bebe's Kids, and I used to... The tagline of the movie is one of the kids go, "We don't die, we multiply." I remember that.
I remember that. From
you remember that line, yeah. Right, yeah.
The comic there was it Robin Harris?
Robin Harris, yes. Robin Harris, that's it, yep.
Faison
Who
Love
I only knew from Bebe's Kids. I did not know any of his other stand-up stuff, and I'm a big guy into stand-up.
But Faison Love played Robin Harris.
Oh, he didn't even voice himself?
Robin Harris voiced himself.
Oh.
And then Faison Love voiced Robin Harris.
I'm so confused right now. I'm going to have to go back and watch Bebe's Kids to understand what you're even saying to me right now.
And Tone Loc was in it, too.
Tone Loc!
He was Pee-wee.
Whoa. We could connect him to Faison. Look at this.
And
we
Nell Carter.
We got Nell Carter from Give Me a Break. So, yes, I did see this one, Brian. I saw it many times. It was one of those first more adult cartoons that you could see.
Yeah, I was a little too young for it.
Yeah.
Which is why I missed it.
Okay, this one is definitely on my list, and I know you've seen it, and I've seen it. It's Mrs. Doubtfire. Now, I don't have to explain Mrs. Doubtfire.
So the senior citizen who's been watching you is really your dad. No, you won't need therapy when you're older at all.
It was a run-by fruiting.
Oh, my first day as a woman, and I'm already getting hot flashes.
Not one that I thought of, but I do recall the book series was the movie based on the Babysitter's Club.
I remember there being a movie.
But I remember the book series.
Yeah, my sisters had the books.
Yeah. So based on the set of beloved books brought to life, it's centered on a group of girls who babysat. It's the only one on the list with a badass theme song. When you really need a friend. I don't know how it goes, though. It's just quoting
When
the,
you really need a friend and you are in the club, that's what you got to have a dub. A dub step. That's what I'm saying. Dub step.
Sit on those babies. I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
I do recall it was perhaps a series on the Disney Channel, if I recall.
I feel like they made a TV show at some point, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think I remember catching it.
I was never a Babysitter's Club kid. I was, you know, a Boxcar Children.
I was
going
to say, I used to confuse this with Boxcar Park kids. Yeah. All right, so this was...
Indian in the Cupboard, that was my jam.
So I knew this next one was going to come up on the list, which you've mentioned already. 1991, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yep.
And I forgot to mention this during the main reviews. It is Keith Coogan is synonymous with most well-known babysitter movies of all time.
Yeah.
Adventures in Babysitting and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Two wildly different characters, too. Straight-laced Brad, and then this one, he's like the brother, Kenny. The badass rock and roll brother with all the nudie pictures.
Is he the one
on
who says, "The dishes are done"?
That's him.
Man.
That's him. Because
that's the only thing I remember from
this movie.
That's
the most famous line from the movie.
Yeah. I saw it multiple times as a kid. I remember nothing except
Great
for
movie.
That single line.
Great movie, too, yeah. Nothing's better than telling your mom saying you don't need a sitter than having one and having her croak early on in her sentence. Well, it's bad when the old broad had all your survival money on her when you dumped her at the morgue and have to find a way to survive all summer while your mom's down under, mate.
That sounds like a movie I've never seen, even though I've seen that movie multiple times.
One we're probably going to have to do again.
Oh, absolutely.
It was excellent. I remember...
David Duchovny's in it.
Yeah, he plays one of the guys at the company who's trying to get her caught. So, obviously, I would include this one on the list. And
definitely.
Have seen it. And another one I... clearly would include on the list is from 1964, Mary Poppins.
Oh.
Everyone wished they had a sweet British woman to fly down the sky with an umbrella and sing them angelic notes and, of course, that bottomless purse. Now, Brian, would you... This is one of the things that I was going to bring up as a debate, and I would include it, but do you draw the line, the distinction of babysitting versus like a nanny type?
I do draw the line, and that's why I think I would maybe also...
Like a Mrs. Doubtfire would be a nanny.
Mrs. Doubtfire would be more of a nanny.
Okay.
I do think that there is some wiggle room.
Yeah.
But in general, I would go Mary Poppins as a nanny. Like, I'm not going to put Nanny McPhee in because she's not Babysitter McPhee.
Well, what, just to billboard a little bit, since, again, at the time, I could not find very good lists. I did comprehensively include nannies, but we could... It's just to build out the list. We can obviously tighten it up. Yeah.
But if I'm publishing on ScreenPicks.com,
yes,
I'm not padding my list out with nanny movies.
And their final one, of course, Adventures of Babysitting, which we have mentioned.
Now they can put that one on there twice.
That's true. All right, so let's compare it to the list that I've covered.
All right.
Now, like I said, some of these are going to be nanny-ish. Nanny-ish? Nanny-ish.
You're just going to put the nanny.
I'm going to put the nanny, the TV show. No, it's not TV shows. We're not doing TV shows. So here's the list, in no particular order, just as they stream of conscious came into my head. Adventures in Babysitting. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Now, I did include some of those horror ones that I found on another list, too, as well. Like Halloween.
Yep.
When a Stranger Calls. Mary Poppins, like we said, so we're getting into some nanny territory. Sound of Music.
Okay. That's, Governess.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
Couple movies right on the nose. There's one called The Babysitters, which is the first movie that Sam Waterston's daughter, Catherine Waterston, from Fantastic Beasts and the new Alien movie. It's a movie about a bunch of babysitters that start a prostitution ring. They start sleeping with the dads, but they're babysitters for the kids.
Hmm.
There is a movie called The Babysitter. That had...
The Jonah Hill one, right?
No, that one was The Sitter. I have that one, too. The Babysitter had Alicia Silverstone at a young age.
Was that like a horror movie? Thriller?
All these older guys obsessing over this babysitter who was a teenage babysitter. The Pacifier with Vin Diesel.
Oh.
Uncle Buck, like I said. Mystic Pizza. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Corinna with Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh,
you remember that movie?
I do remember that one.
A movie that I highly recommend if you have not seen it, St. Vincent with Bill Murray.
Okay.
Where he's the crotchety next-door neighbor. Look Who's Talking.
Okay.
Because John Travolta babysit the kid before he kind of became his surrogate dad.
I'll be dad.
Let's go around the city in my taxi.
Fly by plane.
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
That does have Kerry Russell as a babysitter.
The aforementioned Nanny McPhee.
Not Babysitter McPhee.
And then The Sitter with Jonah Hill. So those were my babysitting movies.
I think you had a better list where you could make arguments.
Yeah, exactly.
For the movie.
I agree, too. So.
And of course, I was just trying to search for babysitter movies. And the
it's
first
very
thing,
difficult.
The first thing that pops up on Wikipedia was Babysitters Film. And Babysitters is a pornographic film produced in 2007 by Digital Playground.
I don't doubt it whatsoever. I mean, that babysitting trope and setup between like... Oh, that's another one. Speaking of...
It's 130 minutes long. That's a long movie.
But your porno version of a babysitter movie made me think of another legitimate babysitting aspect movie. The World According to Garp. Because there's a scene where Robin Williams drives the babysitter home and then has sex with her.
That is true. I forgot about that scene entirely.
That is true.
Oh, cover, discover. Cover, discover.
All right. So, Brian, so those are the babysitter lists. Now, I know you kind of have a fun activity for us. Not per se a regular quiz like we usually do, but
since it was just the two of us, we would change it up.
Change it up.
So... I thought we might go back a little to our online movie reviews.
Ooh.
But instead of making you guess, I pulled up the most helpful or top-rated positive review.
Okay.
Okay?
So like five-star reviews, you're saying?
It's actually a four-star
review. Four-star review.
But what we're going to do, we're going to Mad Lib it. So I have put together some spots in this review where you are going to add some new words.
Okay.
All right.
I like it.
First, I need a verb.
Who doesn't love a Mad Lib? Rotate.
Two adjectives and a genre.
Sweaty, inquisitive, erotica.
Noun.
Borscht.
Plural noun.
Geese.
Size adjective.
Ginormous.
Adjective. A lot of these are going to be adjectives.
Plump.
Another adjective.
Tedious.
An actress.
Betty White.
Plural noun.
Tonsils.
Noun.
Boutonniere.
A noun.
Caramel.
An occupation.
Game show host.
Past tense verb.
Sharted.
Oh.
I gotta get that explicit.
Yeah, we've gotta
get that explicit.
Explicit rating.
Right.
Verb.
Massage.
Number.
7.
Pronoun.
Him.
Noun.
Lederhosen.
A different actress.
Della Reese.
Oh. A past tense verb.
Expunged.
A place.
Cotton candy factory.
And an adverb.
Pleasantly.
Verb.
Dart.
Adjective.
Repugnant.
Ooh. Adjective.
Toothy.
Number.
842.
Adjective.
Pillowy.
Noun.
Bonnet.
Verb ending in ing.
Truncating.
A plural noun.
Ostriches.
A verb.
Stock.
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 Adjective.
Hairy.
A famous person.
David Schwimmer.
Something associated with that person.
Friends.
Adjective.
Short.
Adjective.
Tingly.
And finally, a verb.
Regurgitate.
Okay.
All
Are
right.
Are you ready for your 4-star review?
Lay it on me, sir.
Elizabeth Shue rotates in this sweaty, inquisitive erotica.
Ooh.
From April 15th, 2015 by D. Hart. First off, yes, there is some borscht and inappropriate geese for ginormous children. But for the rest of us, it is a very plump and sometimes tedious flick that is a lot of fun. This was a real gem for Betty White. A lot of tonsils were considered for the boutonniere, but she really made the best of it, and it really put her on the caramel.
Okay.
A game show host, whose boyfriend just sharted, agrees to massage a young girl.
Oh, no! Why, no!
Her 7-year-old brother is madly in love with him. When her best lederhosen, Della Reese, is expunged at a cotton candy factory in the city,
oh, I like that.
She pleasantly agrees to dart and pick her up. With the repugnant girl, her brother, and her brother's toothy friend,
oh, that works.
842 set out on a wild and pillowy night that gets even wilder as the night moves on. One bonnet after another until they are truncating from ostriches out to stalk them.
That makes no sense.
It is hairy now, with all the David Schwimmer and Friends movies out, that the little girl is obsessed with her hero, David Schwimmer.
Yes.
This is a short and tingly movie, and well worth the regurgitation.
Ah, excellent. Well done, sir. Thank you, sir. Excellent. I like that review much better than whatever the original was.
Yes.
I don't know what it was, but now I don't want to know.
No, it's lost to the ether.
Well, thank you, sir. That was quite enjoyable.
Indeed it was.
I think we're going to have fun with our regular segment of... Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
There are a lot of particular characters in this movie that I have never seen again. So I think it's going to be very interesting. And during our full reviews, as we were chatting, I wrote down some in particular. I think it would be interesting to find out what these people are up to because they were so distinct in a major portion of this movie, yet never saw them ever again.
Absolutely.
So starting off with, can you tell me the guy who played that guy Bleak, who was the leader of the chop shop ring? He talked like this. I was Bleak.
He's John Davis Chandler.
John Davis Chandler.
He passed away in 2010.
Oh.
But in terms of the things he's most well known for, he was in the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, okay. So he goes back a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. He's more of an older actor, if you will. Phantasm 3.
He looks like he'd be in a horror movie. That's true.
Ride the High Country.
Sounds like a Western.
His final credit was an episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay.
He played Flith.
I could see him as like a Quark type of character.
He was also on Walker, Texas Ranger as Homeless Man.
Okay.
Chicago Hope, one episode. ER, one episode. He was Zeb in Carnosaur 2.
Zeb.
One episode of In the Heat of the Night. One episode of Renegade.
A lot of those 80s to early 90s shows.
Yep. Body of Evidence.
That was the Madonna movie with Willem Dafoe?
Yep.
Wow.
He was in that. Trancers 2.
Okay, another like sci-fi horror type movie.
One that you might have seen, he was in Only the Lonely.
Oh, with John Candy.
Yep. And that's most of his more recent credits before going back to the older credits. He had a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah.
So
he goes back a while.
Yeah.
Okay. So some of the earlier stuff. I just imagine him like in probably around the time like an action movie playing a villain or something like that. He just has that kind of persona.
He was in Chesty Anderson, U.S. Navy as Dr. Cheech.
Chesty Anderson?
Yep.
Is that a porno?
I don't know. It's from the 70s.
Yeah.
So
you have to assume
there's a period
so, right.
where it's hard to tell if it was a porno or just an erotic film.
Right, right.
Walking Tall Part 2.
What? Oh, of the originals.
Yeah, the originals.
Okay. With Joe Don Baker.
Yeah.
Right? Not the direct-to-video. Well, no, the second and third one were Kevin Sorbo taking over. The Rock was in the first one, right?
Yes.
All right, so speaking of that kind of legal chop shop, so how about the guy who was like the more friendly carjacker, the guy who was Joe Gipp, I think that was his name, Joe?
Yep, he was played by Calvin Levels.
Okay.
He is currently 62 years old.
Wow.
His most recent credit was in 2003. He played Trouble Truman in Blacklisted.
Not like The Blacklist on NBC,
no.
Carolyn. Okay.
The movie you might remember him from is the classic Joe Pesci film, Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag.
I knew you were going to say that, and I was like, you're going to say classic Joe Pesci, and I'm like, this is the one that I've seen like maybe two scenes out of, the one you're about to say. The Joe Pesci, yeah.
Do you want to guess what his role was?
One of the heads?
Yep, he was head of Jamal.
Oh, head? At least he had a name.
Yeah.
He was head of Jamal.
He was also in the Chuck Norris film Hellbound.
Ah, that's where Chuck Norris fights the devil.
In Point of No Return, he was computer instructor.
Oh, I've seen that movie with Bridget Fonda.
I like how I like to imagine that he's the same character as Adventures in Babysitting. He's just, you know, progressed. He's gotten his life together.
Oh, he turned his life together,
and
right.
He's like, no,
well,
I'm
after
going
that
to,
night,
I'm going to teach you about computers now.
He punched out Bleak, and then, you know, he turned his life around.
Yeah.
So good for him.
He was in Johnny Suede with Brad Pitt.
Yes, one of Johnny's. Right, one of his earlier movies, right.
Then he had a few credits before Adventures in Babysitting. He was in the 1981 Ragtime. He was also...
I'm not familiar with the 1981 Ragtime. Is that that's not the most famous
the
one.
It predates musical.
Okay. Oh, it was just like a straight movie?
Yeah, it had Jimmy Cagney in it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're the only person that calls him Jimmy Cagney. James Cagney?
Yeah, he's Jimmy Cagney. We're on the, but it had Mandy Patinkin as well.
Okay.
As Tata.
Oh, okay.
And Mary Steenburgen. As
oh, cool. All right, so going off of that, Joe was kind of like a friendly face to Chris and crew throughout the evening. What about the other guy that was pretty friendly to him, the tow truck driver, Pruitt?
Yes, Pruitt. Pruitt was played by John Ford Noonan.
Okay, John Ford Noonan.
He's 73 years old.
Uh-huh.
His most recent credit was from 2008, where he played Drunk at Bar in the short Uncle Freddy. But before that, he played... God, in 2003's God, has a rap sheet.
I have not seen that either.
In terms of things you might have seen, Flirting with Disaster.
Heard of that.
He played Mitch.
He
has 11 acting credits.
Oh, he's only has 11. Was Adventures in Babysitting his first acting credit?
His first was Septuagenarian Substitute Ball in 1970.
That's a mouthful. Say that three times fast, Brian. All right, so that was Pruitt. Let's kind of go to the... main crew that set out to Chicago. We did mention briefly that the actress that played Sarah, I was quite familiar with her from Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Yep.
But I don't know what her name was or what she... That was kind of her prime. I don't know if she did much after this kind of era of those.
Her name's Maya Bruton.
Okay. That does not sound familiar whatsoever.
She's 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Her most recent credit was from Odd Mom Out. She was in one episode in 2015.
That's a TV show?
Yes.
Okay, I thought it was like a TV movie.
She was in a short called Is This Your Mother in 2002. But before that, Parker Lewis Can't Lose, episode of The Wonder Years, an episode of 21 Jump Street, an episode of Dolly, where she played young Dolly Parton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. An episode of Highway to Heaven. She was in Back to the Future.
She was in Back to the Future?
She played Sally Baines.
You know, I seem to remember, like, maybe, like, one of those skateboarding scenes or something that she shows up.
Her first acting credit was in Blue Thunder, She was in...
That's a helicopter movie.
It's the TV show.
Oh, the TV show.
She was
okay.
in one episode as Kathy.
That's my mom's name.
It is your mom's name.
So there you go. I'll give you more of a layup, and then I'm going to give you a harder challenge, right?
Ooh.
So let's start with the layup. So we had mentioned that the cool guy at college and also the guy who was in, like, the Father of the Bride movies was George Newbern.
Indeed.
So what else do we know? You mentioned he kind of does some DC animated voices, like for Superman. And,
yeah, like going
and
back
like,
to Justice League, he was the voice of Superman.
But what else has he kind of done? Because I don't think as many people know he got into that kind of after the Father of the Bride movies. So like,
People nowadays probably know him from Scandal.
Oh, he's in Scandal.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't watch that.
Charlie on Scandal.
I did not know that.
So that's a major character.
Like
49 episodes.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's pretty big.
In 2016, in the film Pup Star, he was Bark.
Pup Star?
I'm pretty sure this is from the Air Bud cinematic universe.
Oh, really?
Then a lot of voice acting. He was doing Superman, Steve Trevor, and some of the stuff as well. He was Superman in the Injustice Gods Among Us game as well. He was in the Santa Claus too, so he has a lot of work in the Air Bud shared
cinematic
universe.
That's a weird shared universe.
He was on a couple episodes of Hot in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
Bringing it back to Betty.
She was in our Mad Lib.
She was.
I made that connection possible.
He was in a Disney Channel original movie in 2005.
Okay, what's that?
Buffalo Dreams.
Buffalo Dreams, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo Dreams, won't you come out tonight? I like it.
He was on Providence.
Okay.
21 episodes of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this is that period of his career where you might not remember him from much. He was, bring it back to the Mad Lib, he was on Friends.
He was, okay. He played someone's,
Danny.
Someone's boyfriend at one episode.
I want to say it was a Rachel boyfriend.
Okay, Rachel boyfriend. I brought this up during the main episode.
Oh, and he was on an episode of Touched by an Angel to bring in Della Reese.
Della Reese again. She's everywhere.
He is a very, like, your connections are perfect.
This is weird.
You won to greet it.
I guess I did.
You created the version of Adventures of Babysitting that's like the George Newbern cinematic universe.
The ultimate shared universe of George Newbern. But I do have to mention, like I said, so Kimberly Williams, that was the name of the daughter and father of the bride. Like, there was a time, like, you remember, like, back in the day, they did all those, like, Folgers couple, or there was some coffee, Taster's Choice. There was, like, that Taster's, I think it was actually the Taster's Choice couple, and, like, they did all the ads together. There was a series of Hallmark card commercials with this couple, and it was George Newbern and Kimberly Williams, and they were, like, the Hallmark couple or something like that.
Oh, here's a role that will interest you for George Newbern.
Yes.
In the Whoopi Goldberg classic, Theodore Rex.
Theodore Rex, when she partners with a dinosaur.
He was the voice of Theodore Rex.
He was Theodore Rex?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he was on Puchinsky.
What the hell's that?
I've seen this. It's a pilot that you can find online about a detective who's played by Peter Boyle.
Oh.
Who dies, and then his soul is, like, reinserted
into a
bulldog. So,
is this live action?
Yes. So he's solving crimes
Puchinsky.
As a dog.
It sounds like more he'd be a composer. Puchinsky.
I think that's going to be the highlight of George Newbern's career.
That's true. I don't think he could go anywhere.
He was also on an episode of Family Ties.
So, Brian, here's your challenge, right? The two guys that played the janitors that come up when Brenda is mistakenly petting a sewer rat.
Janitor number one is Alan Ahrens.
Okay.
His most recent credit is from this year, is from 2017, a short called Roped. I'm going to go through his and see if there's any other movies I've heard of. And the closest I have is an episode of Today's Special.
Oh, I used to watch that show all the time.
Yeah, I loved that show.
Wow,
he was on one episode as Mitch.
Wow.
29 credits.
So that was one of the janitors.
That's
what about
Alan Ahrens? Janitor number two has a very fun name, and he actually has a much more notable career trajectory. He's Rummy Bishop. He unfortunately passed in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
But some other things that you might know him from: Dick,
Kirsten
Dunst, stand guy.
Yeah.
Dirty Work
with
Norm.
Norm MacDonald.
Homeless guy at apartment. Half Baked.
Oh, of
homeless
course.
Homeless guy.
Oh, so he's typecast. He's either homeless or he's selling newspapers.
Now, I know this is one of your favorites. Tony Danza is the garbage-picking, field goal-kicking Philadelphia phenom.
Yeah.
So he was Joe in that.
Wow.
Bona. He played Rocco Torri in Joe Torri, Curveballs Along the Way.
Was that the TV movie with Paul Sorvino?
It was. That's good recollection.
Thank
there.
You, yes.
He was on an episode of Goosebumps as Old Man.
He plays an old man, a homeless man, or a newspaper salesman.
Yeah, he's mostly an old homeless
that's
man.
That's his wheelhouse.
And speaking of his career as a newsman, he's the news vendor in Short Circuit 2.
Los Lobos kick your ass. Los Lobos kick your face. Los Lobos kick your ass into outer space.
Now, Mark, what is the best Police Academy movie?
The best Police Academy movie. Gotta go with Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
Which he was in as Party Man.
You're making someone pick the best Police Academy movie. It's got Zed and Sweet Chuck. Sweet Chuck. Sweet Chuck.
So Rummy Bishop, he has 51 acting credits.
That's a good name, by the way.
That's a great name.
Rummy Bishop. That is a powerful name. All right, Brian. Well, thank you very much. Any final closing thoughts on...
Well, one thing that I think we've neglected so far.
Yeah.
We need to rank this movie.
Oh, we got to rank the movie. Let's do that really quick. Right. This is tough to say.
This is a tough one.
This is definitely a tough one. I can tell already ones that I'd put it above.
Such as?
I mean, just looking up the list, it's going to be above, like, just going up. It's going to be above a Footloose, above a Phantom, above a Can't Buy Me Love.
Yep.
Above a Flight of the Navigator, above a Jingle All the Way.
Yep.
I feel it's kind of close to the range of Teen Wolf, but I put it above Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah.
Not Teen Wolf 2, the second one.
We haven't gotten to
above
that
Teen
one yet.
Wolf. Twister, I kind of start to get dicey a little bit. I could put it above Twister. This is tough. I want to say...
Well, let's look at some that are higher.
Yeah.
And try to judge, does it go above this?
Because okay.
Because I think some of them...
That's a good question.
We sentimentally put them, and it was a consensus thing.
Yes.
So what about The Great Outdoors?
I could put it above that.
What about Midnight Run?
Like, again...
I'm kind of looking at that spot between the two of those.
Yeah. I mean, I would put it above... I did enjoy Midnight Run... That's a great movie. This is a very fun movie. I have much more nostalgia for this one, so I could obviously put it above Midnight Run. So I could definitely do that. Now, what do we have next? Top Secret.
Which I haven't seen, so.
That's a fun movie. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, I could put it above that just because it's the sequel. Gremlins is where I start to get a little dicey a little bit. I don't know. Keep going up. Let's look up a little bit.
Yeah, let's start at the top.
Let's start at the top.
Return of the Jedi.
No.
Hook.
No.
Goonies.
No.
Sandlot.
No.
Batman.
No.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I say no to that.
I say no. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I mean, I could maybe put that above Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I'd say no.
Okay. You'll say it all that.
Rocketeer.
I could put it above that, too.
Labyrinth.
Well, there you go. Labyrinth, I definitely put above this.
Yes. Spaceballs. Rick will yell at us if we put it above
Spaceballs. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Batman Returns.
I'd probably keep Batman Returns where it is.
Independence Day.
I mean, that's where I'm looking. I'm looking around Independence Day and Gremlins. Like, this is where I'm, the spot I'm kind of looking. What's your thoughts? I mean, I'm thinking maybe I should just either above or below Gremlins. That's where maybe I'm thinking.
I was thinking between Midnight Run and Great Outdoors.
Okay.
Because from the perspective of having no nostalgia attachment to this or to, actually to any of those three, and excluding Top Secret, because I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Like, I put Midnight Run as a better movie.
Okay.
Than Adventures in Babysitting. I think Adventures in Babysitting a little better than Great Outdoors. So just on that level, that's where I kind of view them.
So I want to put it above Midnight Run.
Well, it's not as good as Midnight Run.
Okay. All right, let's put it under Midnight Run.
Yes.
All right, I agree. Let's do that. The new 18, Adventures in Babysitting. Well, there you go, folks. I think that's all we wrote on Adventures in Babysitting. We've put it on the list. I think we can kind of put it to bed. Super short, Brian. I don't think we have time to say which movies we've seen recently. Okay, maybe just say...
Some highlights if you want.
Quick, very highlights, because we got to wrap up this episode.
What's your number at?
I am at, as of today, 176.
Oh, I'm at 185.
All right.
A few highlights include, I just watched the Stanford Prison Experiment.
I saw that, yeah.
That was good. It was not fun, but...
Disturbing.
And I slogged my way through all 5 Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, wow.
Which the first 4 alone is a total of 10 hours.
Yeah.
So that was quite the, and the new one, not bad.
Yep.
Felt more like a sequel to the first few. Like the fourth movie just kind of is sitting there dangling to me most of the,
yeah,
for most of it, but. Yeah, it worked.
I'll just go through a quick 5 or 6 real quick. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Finally saw that. A double feature at the drive-in. That was the second film. The first one was Wonder Woman, which is excellent.
That's a weird double feature because that movie's been out for a long time.
Yeah, and on the other screen, there was Baywatch followed by the third Star Trek movie. So they're like really like the second run for this.
Yeah, you're getting
one.
A first run movie and an old movie.
But yet the one try driving, you know, triple driving. The other one was the new Pirates followed by Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So that was actually 2 current movies.
So they probably spent way too much money licensing those.
Yes. Yep. Right. Yeah. But I had already seen Guardians, so which is also on the list, Guardians 2. So.
Yeah, that was very good.
So I was interested, and I hadn't seen Fantastic Beasts, so I was okay with that. Another like really quick going back to the early 2017 range. I finally caught up with Logan and Get Out. So
and I just saw Split.
Both excellent. I do want to see Split.
That was good.
I want to see that. Yeah,
and one that's on Hulu. I think you mentioned it. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Becoming Bond.
I've heard all about it. Yes,
it's very entertaining.
Yeah,
but it's very strange because it's a biopic that's being narrated by the actual person.
Yes.
So it's like a biopicumentary.
A biopicturementary.
But Cinemaniacs can check that out on Hulu. It's about George Lazenby.
And speaking of biopicturementaries, Brian, I think we should go play some Pictionary.
Sure.
And on that note,
thank
you, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Brian and wherever Rick is, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Mark, I need a number.
1.
I need an adjective.
Saddened.
I need a verb.
Crying.
All right. 1 saddened rival babysitters, Jenny and Lola, team up to cry down one of their kids who accidentally runs away into the big city without any supervision. It's the 2016 Adventures in Babysitting.
So beautiful. Brian, I've heard of a Mad Lib, but never of a sad lip before.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini-episode of the $5 Bin Podcast, and join us next time for our next full movie reviews it. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5, Bin, POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the5dollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes in iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista! Wait, I need a noun. Oh yeah, baby!